Welcome to another episode of Nipe Story. This is a fortnightly podcast that brings you audio versions of short stories from Kenya and the African continent. I'm your host, Kevin Mwachiro. On this episode, we're featuring Blue Bra on a Samsonite Bag by Osuki Savannah.
Jay's Thursday Night Live Music. Where Jungus can be local without being uncomfortable, and where we call ourselves middle class as only Nairobians can and congregate. Where we can appreciate live music without worrying about the cover charge, and hope our musician friends don't expect us to buy their CDs from our measly beer money.
We have to try out a dance move at least. Cindy, okay. Let's try this. Just give me the groove. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Jay's Thursday Night Live Music. That's where we met. Jay's Thursday Night. After the live music a year later. That's where I could finally let it go. Closure. We bumped into each other at a nearby restaurant and had it out. At one point, I thought they would throw us out. The waitstaff certainly acted that way many a time. But it's at Jay's that, after we sort of ironed it out, I danced away all the pent-up anger and grudge that I had kept in me. And an ambulance that I knew would not come on time did not come on time. Traffic may lighten up in my Nairobi, but it's still difficult to get in and out of Jay's. That's why Uber and Taxify are a blessing. Well, that, and the fact that many of the revelers do not need to be driving after partying. For an ambulance trying to come through, though, it would be a curse. So I got my closure. Although I would never let anyone, not even Nina, know. She accuses me of being too Barbie. We are Africans, Aluoch. What's this closure thing you speak of? Sometimes you're too mzungu for your own good. And perhaps I am. I did, after all, go to Musangari when it was still Musangari. When it was the Brook House of girls' schools. In a way, it still is, I suppose. But you know how these things degenerate after one has left them. So too with Musangari and Tandi. Tandi, the reason for my seeking closure. Nina laughs every time I refer to our cold season as winter. Says winter is a Muzungu concept, and Nairobi just has long rains, short rains, along wet and dry seasons. I swear if you heard her talk, you wouldn't know that she is married to a Muzungu herself. The way she says Muzungu things so often and with such derision. Perhaps familiarity really does breed contempt. But I digress. So it's one winter ago that I met Tandi in this here Jay's. Black polo top, skinny jeans, an open Ankara jacket and boots. Africa meets West in fashion. I remember because when I got to Tandi's flat, walking distance from Jay's, I could not get them off fast enough. I needed to feel her skin next to mine badly. I was with ex-boyfriend Stan, except he wasn't ex then. That was the day he became an ex. Stan and I had been fighting a lot. He had become that typical Nairobi man that both he and I ridiculed in the early part of our relationship. Controlling, overly macho, as though to compensate for his inability to do some of the finer things he promised. Yes, sure. I like Nyama Choma once in a while, and will tolerate a beer or three, but to make it a lifestyle. Champagne prices are ridiculous in Nairobi, but could we have some sparkling a little more than the beer? A brandy, if we can get it from Chandarana, and ensure it's not made by Sisters of Death in Korokho, as it likely would be in our local wine and spirit. Had he been trying to ensure that I, who had been the face, and I dare say the body, of Africa got fat? There are some people who look great with meat on their bones and would look odd thinner. I am not one of those people, thank you very much. And I wasn't going to allow Stan to undo my comfort levels with his Nyama Choma and beers. He said I was too high maintenance, as if he did not know what he signed up for when we started dating. Men wine and dine you when you are courting. Then they whine and decide that you are too high maintenance when all you want is for them to keep up the standards they started with in the first place. Nina found me feeling down that Thursday and suggested that we go out and dance away the blues. Where are you going to go? Stan had asked. Jay's, Nina answered before I could tell her to shut up. I'll come with you. We haven't danced in a while, babes, he said to me. So of course, when he said that, we had to allow him to come through. Although I would have much preferred he hadn't come through and it was just a girls' night out. As it ended though, it became a girls' night out, thanks to Tandy. Tandy, a Maasai with an isiZulu name. Tandy, whose name means love. Tandy, who I thought was love, until she became a love rat. We met in the queue in the toilet. I know, not the most romantic of places. After I left, I wondered whether that meeting was foretelling the shitty relationship ours became. But yes, so I went to stand behind her in line, and she turned and looked at me as though she was mesmerized. "Lord, you are so beautiful," she said with a sigh. I'd looked behind me to see whether there was someone there she was talking to. "Don't look behind. I'm talking to you," she said, now clearly addressing me. "Your features are so striking. You are the most beautiful woman I have ever met." I'm not going to say it's not a Nairobi thing to talk to strangers, but it's certainly not my Nairobi thing. Random compliments or comments directed at me from strangers fill me with discomfort. This woman had not made me feel uncomfortable, though. I think I even smiled, as though I had something to do with my looks. Well, maybe I do in a way. Some exfoliation here. I am the daughter of one of Kenya's first dermatologists, after all. Some 90 minutes of Bikram yoga, 5 days a week there. But still, my looks are largely a genetic privilege. People are often convinced that my 73-year-old mum is 20 years younger. She went into the toilet, then got out. I went into the toilet after her. I came out. She was waiting for me. "You really are so beautiful." I smiled, then said, "Thank you. I'm getting a drink. May I get you one?" It was Jay's. Although no one can be trusted, they probably could be trusted with their suppliers. The 3 Tuskers Stan had purchased and I had drunk were making me feel bloated. "Sure, a brandy, double." A woman after my own heart. I'm a brandy girl myself. A brandy coming right up. On her return, she set the brandies on the table near the door. She looked at me straight in the eye and said, "I didn't introduce myself to you, beautiful. I'm Tandy. It means love in isiZulu, but I'm Maasai." When I think of her, I think of this line because that's how she introduced herself all the time. She was making no qualms about hitting on me, and I liked it. "And I'm Oluoch." I stretched out my hand to meet hers. Later, I would think of all the ways my introduction could have been wittier. I do this often, think of clever things I should have said after the fact. When our hands met, I felt something pulling me to her. I wanted to hold her hand forever. Until then, I thought of myself as heterosexual. But Tandy was the sort of woman I was always flattered to get hit on by. Pretty, classy, confident, and later I would find out intelligent. Everything I was or aspired to be. On that Thursday at Jay's, I ceased being flattered. Made no polite remark of, "Thanks, but I like men." I pulled her to me and kissed her as boldly as she had started the conversation with me. We came apart with Stan standing behind me, pulling on my dress at the shoulder. "Oluoch, what are you doing? Are you drunk?" he asked, looking confused. Nina was grinning beside him. "Give it up, Stan. Women know what a woman wants better than any man. You won't win this one." "But Oluoch is not," he spluttered. "She's not a lesbian," Nina said wickedly. "I love it when a lesbian steals a woman from a man." She even did the air quotes thing. I finally found my voice. "Sorry, Stan." And then I looked at Tandy and said, "Where are we going to?" Tandy was looking at Stan as she answered me, her voice dripping with the sort of challenge one only ever hears among testosterone-laden males to each other. "My home is just walking distance from here. Let's go." If Tandy hadn't been a woman, Stan would have punched her. He looked at me questioningly. I shrugged and squeezed Tandy's hand, making my choice known. He sighed and then walked out. That was the last time I saw Stan. He wrote me a long, angry, homophobic email about not knowing who I was and took what clothes of mine were at his mother's home. Whatevs, I thought then. Nina, who must have thought that this was some sort of joke and just a way to get rid of Stan, at first looked at me after he left and then asked, "And then?" Nina and I have been friends since creche, and I've sprung some surprises on her throughout our lives. But on this one, you could have knocked her with a feather. "I'll call you tomorrow. I'm leaving. But before I leave, Tandy, meet my friend Nina. Nina, this is Tandy." They nodded at each other and greeted each other as Nairobians do. I stay with my mum in Muthaiga, except when I do not. In the first 6 months with Tandy, I did not. The first night kicked off something that I thought would last forever. Our bodies were in sync in a way my body has never felt with anyone before. She knew where to touch and just how to tease me to near dizzying heights. Just when I was near bursting and would lower the play and start all over again. After the back and forth, the release was always mind-boggling. The first night led to Tandy driving me home after a week where she met my mum and chatted with her while I packed my Samsonite bag with a few essentials. If my mother was surprised at my new woman-to-woman relationship, she did not show it. In those 6 months I was with Tandy, she referred to her the same way she had referred to all the guys I had dated. Stan, who she said was two shags because his parents stayed in shags. Bashian, who she thought I should have married because he was courtly and came from a good family. Owino, who she said was too luo because he only addressed her in Jaluo despite her responses in English and used Yaba as a term of endearment to me. Kingara, who partied too much, and to my mom, a sign that he was not Kikuyu enough because his money was spent before he received it. She spoke about all of them as your friend, as though she wanted to hold on to her whole life to the idea that her third and last child was not sexually active, and these were really just my friends, despite the obvious. So how's your new friend Tandy? Does she need any vegetables from the garden? I bumped into your old friend Bashian. He just got divorced. I have his number. Your friend Stan came to drop your clothes the other day. He seemed quite angry. Tandy worked for one of Kenya's top employers, the NGO field. So for the first 6 months, things were magic. Filled as they were with her travels and constant reunions that made each day feel like a honeymoon. I am a fashion designer. No, not like everyone else in Nairobi claims to be a fashion designer. I really am. I source material from all over the continent. Only the best will do for my clients. I have three tailors who bring my drawings to life. But most of Nairobi's middle class is not really middle class. People earning 40,000 shillings per month will proclaim we are the middle class merely because they have a Twitter account, a fridge, a television, and can afford to be a Java once in a while. This essentially makes my clothes out of reach for many who prefer to source their designer clothes secondhand from toy market. I generally only get orders for special occasions like weddings. My biggest and most consistent clients are one of my two older sisters, a PR guru for an international corporate, some Musangari old girls, and my mother and her fair weather friends from all communities, only when it's not election season in Kenya, of course. And of course, my older sister will make orders whenever she can get someone flying home from her home in Boston. These, as steady orders, cannot pay for my necessities and rent. So I stay at mom's until I moved to Tandy's. My moving into her place meant that I had the place to myself when she was at work and out of the country. I could do my sketches at leisure, and my yoga studio was nearer to her home than to my mother's anyway. Bliss. Until it wasn't. My mom got ill. Akoth is in America. Atieno has a husband and children and lives on the other side of town in Karen. That left me leaving my love nest in Westlands to go back to Muthaiga so I could be with mum. At Aga Khan, they said it was the big C, cancer. Best to go to India. It's still in early stages and the doctors there are better equipped. Tandy was a star. Helped with the visas and all the preparations that had to be done. Mum joked and called her the son she never had. I don't think she had properly wrapped her head around a same-sex relationship. We were both effeminate, but I could feel the question on the tip of the tongue, begging to be asked. So who is the man? Unlike my sister Tieno's husband, she did not disrespect me enough to say it out loud. 7 weeks. That's how long we were in India. 3 weeks of anxiety and 4 weeks of mum recuperating. It was then that mum made friends with a doctor who shared her interest in gardening. It was from the doctor that mom heard of the insecticide that could protect her plants from insects, Kurudan, a potent poison for plants and humans. Mom got some for her plants. I packed it for her when she left India. We went back home with mom's cancer in remission. I looked forward to resuming my relationship with Tandy. Tandy, who had been a star, until she wasn't. 7 weeks. It doesn't seem like a very long time. And yet it can be. Heck. A toilet can be a long time, as Stanley found out one Saturday night out at Jay's. The first week was just like the 6 months before I left. But then I started seeing changes in Tandy. She arrived a little later at home. She sweated the small stuff a little bit more. She sounded that bit more critical. Then that final day, Friday, I called her at work. "Listen, can we do dinner tonight? We need to talk." "Sour," she said, sounding noncommittal. I made dinner, her favorite, even made dessert, and I'm not a sweet tooth. I had 2 bottles of cognac, Remy Martin, only the best. We would either find our way back to each other after the talk, or we would leave each other. But I could not be accused of not having tried. I packed my Samsonite bag in case we couldn't find our way back to each other. I didn't want a drawn-out goodbye as I packed it, if that should be the case. Or, as with Stan, to have my clothes left with my mother. I placed my Samsonite bag in the spare bedroom. The dinner was ready. Then the dinner was cold. Tandy did not come. She did not send a WhatsApp message. She did not send a text. She did not answer my one call. And when I tried calling again, her phone was off. I warmed myself a plate of food. I had dinner, even ate dessert. I drank Remy straight from the bottle, and I cried. I've never cried for a relationship before, but Tandy, whose name means love in isiZulu, made me cry. I played with myself while watching a video on Pornhub. Who needed Tandy when there was Pornhub and toys? After orgasming, I cried for Tandy, whose name means love. At 6 in the morning, I showered in our ensuite bathroom. Tandy had not come to bed. Maybe she had not even come home. I would leave. Except Tandy had come home. In the spare bedroom, when I opened the door, a strange woman sat up in bed. She had been expecting Tandy. She saw some other woman she didn't know. She had a question on her face. "Who are you?" I smiled a tight smile. "Hello." "Hi," she answered. "Tandy ako?" I asked. "Toilet," she answered. As I looked at her, I felt a stab in my chest. Her cheap weave, her garish makeup not washed off before she slept, and her cheap bra, likely bought at the Globe Cinema on top of my Samsonite bag. If Tandy had wanted us to break up, did she need to sink this low? The blue bra on my Samsonite bag, that to me was the last straw. I flicked it off my bag, took it, and walked out of Tandy's home. Tonight was the first time I saw her since the day I left. The crudan that I transferred to whatever bag I use was not accidental. The meeting at Manor 540 was. The restaurant that used to house the British colonial governor, Evelyn Baring, an interesting place to place NGO Brits in Nairobi in 2018. She moved from her NGO Jungus and I moved from Nina. We sat down and talked as we shared a fish dinner. The intimacy of sharing the fish so big, tampered by the anger in my voice. It got heated. I noticed that the waiters often wanted to intervene. One time, the manager came through and asked, "Is everything all right?" in a solicitous voice that threatens eviction. Tandy explained to the manager. He left. She explained to me too. "It was all too overwhelming," she said. She was not ready for a serious relationship, she stated. She didn't know what to say to me. That's why she did not come home for dinner that last night, she added. The other woman meant nothing. She didn't even remember her name, she assured me. I nodded, appearing to understand. "Why don't you and your friends join Nina and I at Jay's after this?" "Great idea," Tandy, who is Maasai but whose name means love in isiZulu, said. We walked out together. On reaching Jay's, I smiled at her and said, "Since I have found closure, first brandy on me." I got us 2 brandies. Jay's is crowded as usual. The crudan found its way into her glass before I walked back to her. "Thanks, babe," she said. "I'm glad we are cool now." In her last minute before passing out, I saw that look of recognition, of knowing what I had done. "I don't think Tandy looks too well," I said to one of the Jungus. "Maybe you should call an ambulance?" "That, Tandy," I whispered to myself silently, was for the cheap-ass blue bra on my Samsonite bag. Closure. I got mine today. Jay's. Thursday night. After live music.
A Blue Bra on a Samsonite Bag was read to you by Tiffany Mugo and written by Zukiswa Vana. Zukiswa is the author of 4 novels, 4 children's books, a satirical non-fiction book, and a literary travel memoir. This is Zukiswa's second contribution to Nipe Story. Her first story is titled This Is Not Au Revoir. Tiffany Kagure Mugo is a fellow podcaster and hosts a sex and relationship podcast called Basically Life and is the curator of Holla Africa, a pan-African sex-positive digital platform dealing with all things sexual and sexuality. Thank you, Zooks, and thank you, Tiffany, for your support in making this episode possible. Nipe Story celebrates African short story fiction and the power of audio storytelling. Therefore, if you'd like us to consider your short story for the podcast, drop us an email at nipestorypodcast@gmail.com. The story should be between 750 and 4,500 words, and we'll be more than happy to have a look at it. Nipe Story is available to download or listen to wherever you get your podcast. And details of our socials are @NipeStory_podcast on Instagram, and on Facebook and X, our handle is @Nipe_story. Thank you for your support and thank you for listening. Nipe Story is a Finger Piano production.